what are some of the things that are happening here at Kingsway? And we want you to celebrate that God's using some of the offerings that we're giving to be able to make a difference, to share hope in different places. But we also believe every time you hear some of those stories, the Holy Spirit may be prompting you to say, I want to help more. How can I personally get involved with something like that? So I would encourage you today, if that's something the Holy Spirit's saying to you, please meet up with Taylor over here at the table. And we'd love to help encourage you to get plugged into the ministry and the outreach that Open Door Mission does. So let's pray real quick together. Father God, I thank you for Taylor. I thank you for the friendship that he and Matt have had. I thank you for how they've sharpened each other and how each of them are committed to living their lives for you. I pray your blessing on him and his family as they serve in that role at Open Door Mission, as they serve you in new areas as you are leading them to mission field in Africa. So, Father, I just pray today that as he shared briefly just the tip of the iceberg of some of the things that you're doing as churches in our community come along and support Open Door Mission in this effort to provide hope, healing, and help for people, and then to provide the gospel of Jesus. Father, would you move any one of us? We just want to say we surrender, and if there's any way that you want to move some of us into action, we're willing to follow you into that area of volunteering and serving. So, Father, bless the words that he shared, bless the offerings that we give, and then we commit ourselves to your service. Now, as we come to your word, would you open our ears to be able to hear what you want to say, open our hearts to be willing to embrace the change that you want to create in us, and then open our mouths for whatever you teach us, help us to share it with other people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Many of you heard the story or maybe saw the movie, the story about a man named Louis Zamperini. Zamperini. He was a troublemaker kid in his hometown as he was growing up. And he developed a skill of running really fast to stay ahead of people trying to catch him. He started running. His older brother started to get him into trying to move away from where he was breaking into their neighbors' houses and stealing things. And running from neighbors, he'd break into the local bakery and steal food. And his brothers recognized that's not the path we want him to be on. So why don't you start running for school? So he started running track and actually got into the Olympics in 1936, I believe it was, and ran the Olympics in Berlin. He's not a believer in Jesus Christ, but his temperament was very hard, strong-willed, rarely submitted to people around him. And if you saw the movie, you saw his persistence in very difficult situations. His plane was shot down over the Pacific, vast Pacific, and he and two other friends on the plane survived. Eight others were killed. He somehow survived 40 days floating on their life raft, came ashore on a Japanese-occupied island, was put in POW camps, and when they found out that he was an Olympic athlete, they gave special attention to torture and torment him. And the movie is all about his strong will, how he persisted hard, even though they were trying to break his spirit. He never broke his spirit. And yet when he came home after the war was over and he returned home, he really lived a broken life. He couldn't deal with some of the torment that he had from the war, some bitterness and unforgiveness for some of the guards at the prison camps. And he got married, had a daughter, But his life was tormented. He got involved with alcohol and became an alcoholic. His running away from everything else became an alcoholic. But Billy Graham came into their town and did a revival, a series of revival meetings. And his wife, who was on the verge of divorcing him, went one night, invited him, one more chance, would you just go one night? And that night transformed Louis' life. And he remembered, recalled a prayer that he prayed when he was in the life raft, a bargain that he made with God: if you get me out of this alive, I will serve you. And so this troublemaking kid, this strong-willed, never-going-to-break-down guy, bowed down at the foot of the cross and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And for the rest of his life, he gave his life to sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, a story like that is inspiring. And today, we've been looking in this new series, we've been looking at people that God, ordinary people that God's placed in your life that encourage you to be able to live a life of gratitude, a life of thankfulness. And one of those people that I'd like you to think about in your life is somebody whose testimony inspires you. They're turning back to God. And that story of who they were and how they met Jesus and how they then started, how their life started to change once they became a Christian, once they started following Jesus. Do you know anybody like that? Can you think, is there somebody in your life, they're just an ordinary person, their name isn't on the TV screens, they don't have books written about them, but they're just an ordinary person whose life was transformed by the cross of Jesus Christ. And every time you think about them, you think about the story of what they were, what they've become, and how Jesus has changed their life. Today on your bulletin, the back page, I'm going to ask you to write down that person's name. I want you to write down the name of a person whose story of transformation inspires you. And maybe it's going to be a name that nobody else knows. But every time you think of their story, it inspires you to know God still changes lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let me read it again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Would you say not ashamed with me? Not ashamed. I want you to say it again. Not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. Today, we want to look at a kind of an unnamed person. Most of the time, you probably haven't ever heard a sermon on this guy before, so this is going to be a first. But this is a person who's mentioned that's around Paul as he closes out Colossians, and this person has a story of life change. I don't want you to just read over the name and skip over that and trying to pronounce his name and wondering what's the big deal about that guy. Today we're going to look at, because his story reflects the power of transformation and the inspiration that can happen when you look deeply at a person's life about how they've been changed by Christ. Now, if you're new here and just visiting Kingsway today, I'm sorry. So I used to serve for 4 years at a church in Council Bluffs called First Christian. Every time I would preach there, I would say Nebraska Christian College. So my time warp is just, I'm lagging a little bit. But there are people here in this church whose stories of transformation would inspire you. People who broke the chains of alcoholism and found freedom from alcohol and life and sobriety in Christ. People whose marriages were on the brink of divorce and finding a way to be able to let Jesus Christ be the center of their life, their marriage has been restored, and now they're starting to bless other people. I don't know what all of the stories are, but it's been a joy for me these first 4 or 5 months hearing some of these stories. And I just know this room is filled with people. If you knew their story, it would inspire you that the cross still changes people's lives. Now, I could tell you about Bryce, a young man who grew up around the church but never made a personal commitment to Christ, had been through 3 marriages, each of them had dissolved, and he was dating a girl who is a believer now. And she says, I have standards in my life, and I will not date anybody who isn't at least investigating, considering Jesus. So Bryce said, okay, I'll go to church with you. And in that time, Bryce started to change his life. His attitude started to change. I remember the day that he was baptized into Jesus, and he came out like this. He said, it was the best day of my life when I surrendered to Jesus and let him have control. And we were all anticipating Bryce's life was just going to go great. But 1 month after his baptism, he got a medical diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And for the next 6 months, battled with that and chemo, near death multiple times. And yet he said, I know God brought me to a place of salvation so that I could have a strength to guide me through this time. And you wouldn't believe the kind of testimonies and prayers that Bryce prayed. His life drastically changed. His commitment to living a life for God, even though his physical condition was in miserable shape. I want to tell you, God amazingly brought him through that pancreatic cancer. He's doing great. And God's given him a story to tell people that at the right time, God brought him into right relationship with Jesus. I could tell you the story of Sean and Channy, whose marriage was on the brink of divorce. He was an alcoholic, and she had given up on their marriage. And they found Jesus, started to work on things, and their marriage is transforming, and now they're leading Bible studies to help other people. There's multiple people that I could tell you stories of. I want to ask you, who's the person like that in your life? And maybe, what's your story? And is it possible that your story itself could help somebody else? So real quickly, I want to look through a couple of passages of Scripture. Is that really the time? Okay, here we go. Colossians chapter 4. It's really fast after this, okay? Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 8. What you heard last week, thank you, Joel, for preaching the word last week about and introducing you to Tychicus. Verse 8 says, I'm sending him, Tychicus, to you for the express purpose that you may know about me, about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Verse 9, he is coming with Onesimus. Would you say that with me? Onesimus. Say it again, one more time. Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So Onesimus is the person we're going to look at today. What's really interesting is most of these names, we don't have a lot of information. There's one or two other verses about Tychicus that are in the Scriptures. But Onesimus is the subject of another letter in the book of the Bible, in the New Testament. So I want you to turn over a couple more pages now to the book of Philemon. Now remember, the book of Colossians is being written to a church that's probably 5 to 8 years old in Colossae. Onesimus is evidently one of them. The Scripture, Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, says he is one of you, so he's evidently a Colossian. In the book of Philemon, it's a short one-chapter book, Paul is writing to a member of the church in Colossae, a businessman named Philemon. And here we see a story unravel where Philemon has lost a slave. A slave has run away from him. So I want to listen a little bit about this story because Paul's going to mention Onesimus in this story. This will give you a little bit of background about Onesimus in his story. Verse 10 of Philemon, first chapter, only chapter. I appeal to you for my son, Paul calls Onesimus his son, my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So here's first thing I want you to notice about Onesimus' life. He wasn't a believer when he lived in Colossae. Paul's in prison in Rome, and somehow Onesimus found his way to Rome, and in there somehow found a connection with Paul. And Paul is in a house arrest prison. He's able to be in a house. People are able to come and see him, but he can't leave. Somehow, Paul and Onesimus get connected together, and somehow in this story, conversations, Onesimus becomes a believer. Paul shares the gospel with Onesimus. Onesimus surrenders his life to Jesus, and Paul often called people that he converted, he called them his sons or his daughters. They were people that he had invested life, and he saw them spiritually be reborn. And that's evidently happened to Onesimus. Onesimus finds Paul, hears the gospel, gives his life to Jesus. Let's look at verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he's become useful both to you and to me. Okay. Have you ever called somebody useless? Okay, be honest now. You're in church. Was there anybody you ever called useless? Maybe you worked with them. Maybe you raised them. Maybe you were neighbors to them. Did anybody call you useless? They had to work with you. Well, what's interesting is Onesimus, his name in Greek means useful. It probably was his slave name because he was probably a servant, a slave in this house. We're going to see this a little bit later here. And his name was useful, but his temperament made him useless. And Paul says, no, there's something that's changed. He used to be useless. Used to create more trouble for you than it was worth. But I just want you to know he's been changed. He's been transformed. And now he's not useless anymore. He's useful both for you and for me. Paul says in verse 12, I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. So it's interesting. Onesimus has become a Christian while meeting Paul in prison. His life is changed, and all of a sudden his ability to be a benefit to other people around him has changed. He's less work and effort for other people to have to manage and work around. He's helpful. He's using his gifts and his abilities to help other people around him. And Paul says, I'm going to send him back to Colossae. Look at verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated, that word separated, actually is a very strong word. It's the same word that we get the word divorce in the Bible from. It's this, he was torn apart from you. So it sounds like whatever reason, whatever relationship, and I think it's slave and master, that Onesimus had with Philemon, when it ended, it was a horrible tearing. It was a rough departure. Verse 15, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So here you get the insight. Onesimus had been a slave. Philemon's a Christian. Onesimus is this useless personality, supposed to be a good slave, a good worker, but he's not accomplishing that. Onesimus evidently flees. Maybe Philemon is a harsh master. We don't know what the situation is, but for some reason, Onesimus leaves. A slave, runaway slave in the Roman world, deserved death. It was the death penalty if you ran away. Paul is sending this former slave, or this slave, back to his master in Philemon. Now, I want to ask you, how significant is the change in Onesimus' life if he, after he becomes a Christian, decides that he's going to now go back and try to make right the wrong that he did? Have you ever had that paradox in your life? Where something has caused you, maybe it's a sermon, maybe it's a scripture that you're reading, something the Holy Spirit has prompted you to become aware of, something you did years ago, and that you've never made it right. And Onesimus, under Paul's urging, Paul says, hey, now that you're a different person, I want you to go back to your home where that all started. And I want you to show people the difference that's happened in your life. Now, you know how hard that is to do that. But Onesimus must have significantly had a change in his new identity in Christ, in his confidence that God was king of his life, that Onesimus would say, I'll go back. What's interesting, we read in Colossians, Paul is actually sending Onesimus with Tychicus, and they're carrying two letters. One is the letter to the church of the Colossians, and we got to read that. One of them is carrying a letter to Philemon. Both letters are going back at the same time. I don't know if Onesimus knows what the letter to Philemon says. I don't know if Paul talked to him about it. But I just wonder if God says, or Paul said to Onesimus, I want you to take this letter and deliver it to your former master. And Onesimus is carrying the letter to Philemon, knowing that he has to go and make right what he messed up before. Now, it sounds like when that departure happened, that maybe there was some other damage that Onesimus did. Look at verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 17. Paul says to Philemon, if you consider me a partner, welcome him, Onesimus, as if you would welcome me. And if he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. So it sounds very possibly like maybe Onesimus, in order to get money to travel, stole some money from his boss. And he not only left his job, but he stole something as well. Paul is saying, hey, I recognize that's happened. I'll pay you back for that, whatever was lost there. So I just want you to acknowledge, here's a transformation that's happening in Onesimus' life, and he's going back to bear testimony that I'm a different person. And Paul is saying to his master, I want you to welcome him. So let me give you a couple of applications on this. Let me just tell you a current story. There's a famous music artist who used to claim that he is God, who has just decided he's never going to play secular music again, never going to write secular music again. His newest album is called Jesus is King, and he's professing to have given his life to Jesus Christ. Regularly on Sundays, he does a concert. And he invites people. He calls it the Sunday service. And it's a worship concert. And he's kind of in the mix of a 100 voice choir. You can't even really see him hardly, but his songs are being sung about Jesus as King. Has a song called Chick-fil-A. Because he says, he's recognizing there's a day that's supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. You're not supposed to do other stuff. Chick-fil-A stands for that. I ought to spend that day focusing on my family, focusing on my relationship with God. And every lyric that he wrote on that album, he asked his pastor to evaluate and say, is this accurate? Is this true? His name is Kanye West. He's in the news a lot of time. He's in the news now because he's become a Christian. How would you welcome him if Kanye came to church today? So let me just say some possible options. Maybe he's just doing this as publicity. And he's doing the Jesus thing to draw a new audience. Maybe he doesn't have honest intentions at all. I think there's some people who think that. Some people may think it's been maybe there's a significant turnaround, but it's an emotional turnaround. It's not going to last long. So I'm going to wait and see. But is it possible that we as a church who believe that the cross and the gospel of Jesus still transforms lives, is it possible that we have maybe, just maybe, stopped anticipating transformation to take place? Is it possible we just think things are going to be the way they are? You're not really going to experience the Onesimus story. You're not going to see anybody whose life really drastically changes from selfish to selfless, from greedy to generous, that those kind of changes don't happen anymore. Here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you to go on a journey with me, because I believe the inspiration stories of life change, where hope has transformed a life, are there in your life to inspire you to think there could be other transformation stories around you. Kanye West may be one of them. Unbelievably, may be one of them. Is there anybody in your life that could be that? So here's what I'm going to say. Number one, I want you to start anticipating that Jesus still changes lives. I want you to anticipate transformation stories. And oftentimes, they won't happen in the church. Onesimus' story happened in a prison, happened in our house arrest. It may be, do any of you feel like your job is prison? Yeah, John works at a prison. Daniel works at a prison, yeah. So some of you may feel like your job is a prison. Here's what I want to say. Is it possible that there's a transformation story in that place? Is it possible that what you dread going to work for is because God wants you to be there to be a light, to make a difference, because there's somebody there, there's a transformation story that's just waiting to hear the gospel and see it lived out in another person's life? I want you to start anticipating transformation stories. The gospel still changes lives. So here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to start praying every day for an Onesimus, okay? Okay, just call him one, the first three letters of his name. I want you to pray for your one, your Onesimus. I thought of maybe trying to play a wordplay game and say one is much, but that just confuses everything. So I just want you to say, I want you to start praying for one. And every day I want you to pray, God, would you give me one person to bless, to show your love to. One person to demonstrate your love to. And then I want you to be watching in anticipation, who's the one Onesimus that God might put around you? And I want you to watch and believe that whatever, because usually the Onesimus before they meet Jesus is kind of messy. It's not a lot of pleasure and delight to be around them. They're irritable. They complain a lot. You know who that person is at your workplace? Or in your neighborhood? Is it possible that there's a transformation story there? I want you to anticipate it. I want you to pray about it. Third, I want you to welcome transformation stories. It's interesting to me that when, do you remember Paul, who's writing the letter? Do you remember his transformation story? Do you remember when he became a Christian? Nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. He's just trying to find the inner circle. He's going to arrest them. They were all afraid. And God put a person with Paul. Do you remember what that person's name was? It was Justice. But he had a nickname. Justice had a nickname. His nickname, because he was an encourager, was called Barnabas, son of encouragement. You remember him better as Barnabas. Isn't it interesting that as Paul is sending Onesimus back to his hometown in Colossae, Paul sends him with an encourager, Tychicus. Because Paul knows Onesimus is going to need this encouragement, and the people around him are going to need some help to welcome Onesimus into the body. So here's what I'd like to ask of us. I would like for Kingsway Christian Church to become known as a transformation center. I would like for us to be a church that begins to anticipate life change stories happening all the time. And that when you come here to visit, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you would come here and you would see and hear stories of life transformation that would give you hope. Because invariably, whatever it is you're dealing with right now, there's a story here in this church of somebody who had dealt with the same things and found Jesus as the ability to be able to navigate through that. I want Kingsway to be a transformation place. And I want us to welcome transformation stories, because in the early days, they need encouragement, they need strength, they need stability, they need guidance as they try to find this new life in Jesus. So I want to ask you, who's your one, your Onesimus? So this is a person whose transformation story hasn't been written yet. Just the first part's been written. And the first part is messy. The first part is irritable. The first part is useless. And God's placed you in a house just two doors down from them. Or God's placed you in a cubicle just two cubicles away from that person. And I want to ask you, would you begin praying and working with that one so that they could begin their transformation story in Jesus Christ? And then the fourth thing I want to ask you is, I want you to tell transformation stories. People who are not a part of the church, who aren't believers in Jesus Christ, sometimes will understand the gospel better when they hear it in a story of somebody's life that was changed. And I want you to learn as many stories as you can, because invariably one of those is going to be the bridge for your Onesimus to be able to find hope. And that's why Kingsway Christian Church is committed to share the hope with Jesus one life at a time, and one of our stories will help that person find Jesus. Onesimus, somebody in your life has a story of transformation. I want you to thank them this month for that. One of the people in your life has not written their Onesimus story, their transformation story. And I want you to start anticipating that story could happen in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we're going to take an offering, kind of a harvest offering. We call it a harvest offering. It's just a one time a year, we take a special offering to provide for the ministry of this church. And there's a variety of different things we're doing with that. We're going to provide for some building, updating for this the church. And 20% of it's going to go off to other missions that we're going to give to. And here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you to give, not because the offering envelope is going to be placed in the pew in front of you and everybody else is doing it, so just do it. I want you to give so that we can increase our capacity to be a transformation center. I want you to give so our church could increase our ability so that Kingsway Christian Church would become known as a place where hope restores lives, broken marriages, moral failures, drug and alcohol addictions. Whatever the problem is, there is hope in Jesus Christ. And would you give sacrificially every week when you give your offerings? Give so that lives could be transformed. And when you give for the harvest offering, would you give so that we could increase, God could possibly increase our capacity so that there'd be life transformation stories that next year we would be celebrating life stories that we'd be able to hear and praise the Lord for. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the background story of this man named Onesimus. I thank you that we get a little bit of a glimpse of how he changed. And Father, I just want to thank you that here in this room, there's a number of people who've had that similar change, who can look back and recall in their life when life was aimless, useless, unproductive, angry, bitter. And then Jesus, you allowed somebody to introduce them to the gospel. And now you've changed them and they're still becoming more and more like you. So Father, I thank you for the transformation stories here in this room. And I thank you for the hope that you're giving to somebody right now who hasn't even begun that journey. Somebody who's here today, who's not sure if the mess that they're in right now, if there's any way to get out of it. And Father, I just pray today, would you remind them that you are still in the business of transforming lives and that the signature that you're at work in a person's life is the changed life. So Father, you've changed us from lost to be found and blind to be able to see, dead in sin to be alive in you. Now, Father, would you write that story again, over and over again? Would you make Kingsway a part of your kingdom strategy to transform the lives of people around us in our neighborhood and our workplaces? We pray this, we surrender this to you, believing you're going to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do that here, Father. Do that now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.